Hey gang, welcome back. We Watch Stuff 88. I'm Jeremy. Joining me on the other end, as every single show, is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying their early morning and beginning of February. And we are doing an early show. Well, early for us, based on scheduling, because we, thanks to Jeremy stepping it up and doing his job, we both got to see a movie we've been talking about for months the day it came out.
Yep. And that movie, obviously, I mean, if you listen to the show or just follow movies, is I was going to say the 50 Shades of Grey movie, but I can't remember the title of it. So, but yes, obviously, it is John Wick Chapter 2.
I was going to make the same joke.
Oh, I was going to say Lego Batman, but for the crux of the show, it's like, oh, you guys went and saw Lego Batman. Like, oh, man, it wouldn't really work. So, what is this 50 Shades of Grey movie? 50 Shades Darker?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. So, and yes, but it is John Wick Chapter 2, a movie, as she said, both of us, we talked about for a while, really looking forward to. And just to get this out of the way, spoiler alert, the movie's awesome. As expected and as hoped it would be. So, thanks for listening, everybody. And
we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Yeah, go see the movie. Where do you begin with this movie?
I will begin with, I guess, the vibe I got from the theater. Like, I remember when I saw the first one, and I went to see the first one because everybody talked about it's this new action movie out with Keanu Reeves. It's like old school and it's awesome and blah blah blah. And people, like, the last time people kind of talked about a movie like that was like The Raid, and I was like excited about seeing it, but I was like, are they overhyping it because it's the internet and everything? And I think I saw it like on a weekday, weeknight, and I remember watching, like, no, they didn't overhype this. This movie was awesome. But it's kind of like one of those cult things where not a lot of people knew about it, but everybody that saw it kind of felt the same way. And then, like, word of mouth just kept spreading, and it came out on Blu-ray, and people talked about it, and it just popped up on USA. People start watching all over again, and then when they said, we're going to do a sequel, everybody got hyped. And it's just, it's funny because normally we don't get rewarded with these type of things. Like a movie that's done the way we complain about, they don't make movies anymore, and they do it, and it's actually successful, and they build on it. It's like, it's going to be the same way like the first one. We're just going to build on it. And I remember waiting and seeing the first previews and reading stuff from IMDb and everything. So Thursday finally comes. I get there, and I could tell it's going to be a good day because, like I said, the movie theater is full, and it's full of fans. Like, you know, they know what they're like. They know what type of movie they're going to see. And I told you earlier, like, the range of people in my theater was probably from late teenagers to people in their like 60s.
Oh,
yeah. Like, it was a mix of, yeah. Like, I saw a couple grandparents like there together.
Are you in the wrong movie?
Oh, they were there. So it was funny. Like, it was, and it was a vibe where it was like, you know, the Uber fans, the comic fans, and casual fans. It was like this movie kind of resonated, and it was like people here to see it, and it was off to the races.
Yeah, I was telling you before we started, I bought my tickets Wednesday, figuring, all right, we have the assigned seatings. Oh, and just another spoiler. Well, in general, spoilers coming up, but there were no primitives in my theater this time. It was nothing but good people, so that helped a lot. When I got there, people kept coming in. It's like, wow, for a 10 o'clock show on a Thursday. I mean, that surprised me. It wouldn't surprise me if it was Star Wars or, I don't know, what other like huge franchises are there?
No, like, if it was like a Marvel movie,
yeah, yeah.
If it was like Fast and Furious, like a big movie like that, because I'm comparing it. Because when I went to see Triple X Thursday, it was like maybe, what, 15, 20 people in? Mm-hmm. And, like, this movie, like, I mean, the movie did well, like, relatively speaking, but it only made, like, what, $80 million? That's not, like, a whole lot of money. It's just a lot of money for an R-rated movie that didn't cost anything. So to see, like, you got a theater full of people, and they're all here to see this R-rated movie, like, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised too. And it was kind of like that crowd where those are like the best type of crowds, like the ones like they know what they're there to see and they're into everything. And it's, but they're not like snarky and stuff. That's why it's kind of like, because it's a balance to be found where the Fast and Furious crowds are kind of like that, where they have good crowds. The comic crowds are kind of like hit and miss. Like it depends on when you go to see it. Like and like the animated movies is like it's all kids or adults. Like they just gonna be there to have fun. It's not gonna be like the smarty art people there.
That was my experience with this one. The the people, at least the people around me, they knew the characters. So like when John Leguizamo shows up, even though he's in it for what, 10 minutes maybe at that, maybe five. Mm-hmm. When he gets out of the, like he gets back, he calls the, he gets out of the truck. Everyone's like, "Ah, oh, there he is!" And it's funny because it's only been one movie, and he didn't have a huge part in the first one. I mean, he had a, you know, he had more of a role, I would say.
Yeah, like he had like he had like 2 minutes in this movie. He had 4 minutes in the first one, but it's that says a lot about the movie where people just showing up. Because the same thing when the cop shows up, it's like, "Oh, I remember him."
Yes, well, that was when I had explained to the wife. I was like, he was the cop from the first one who asked if he was working. And she's like, okay, I thought he looked familiar. Yeah, that part cracked me up. And it made other people laugh, too. When he just walked into the scene, people started laughing. Mm-hmm. Like, yep, that poor cop again. Here we go. And But it was stuff like that. And that's how... It's funny because it's only one movie, and these are, like, bit characters. I mean, John Leguizamo is what's it? An absolutely noticeable actor, a well-known actor. So him, okay. I'm trying to figure out if the cop... you never watched Justified, did you?
No.
Okay. Let me see if I can find this real quick. I believe the cop was actually one of the cast members of... was actually one of the cast members of Justified. He was one of the other federal marshals. And... because he looked familiar and it was driving me crazy. But anyways, they tied everything. And like the beginning when what was his name, the Russian guy's name, the boss, he's just describing John Wick to the guy as he's fighting. Like people were just laughing the whole time because he kept saying he did all of that for a puppy, for a dog. Like he just kept like degenerating in his fear. And he's like, why don't you just give him the car back? And I actually heard someone in the theater like, "Yeah, just give him the car back." Like, why are we going through all this?
Our theater had the same reaction. It's kind of like, and he said, "Like, well, you think that's just going to solve it? Like, he did all this. Like, give him the car back. It's not. I think it's a little late in the game for that." So, but no, it's funny. Like, our crowd kind of had the same crowd, and it's funny. It's only been one movie, but it's feel like you know all these people. That tells you how affected they are in world building. And we might as well start at the beginning where. You wonder, like, how much time went by. What, maybe a week?
They said it's 5 days later.
Yeah. Oh, basically, like I said, 5 days later, because you're wondering, okay, he got the dog back. What about his car? And, like, yeah. So, and it's funny how they described it. I think partly it helps because, one, Peter Stormare is an excellent character actor. Like, it's kind of like you may not know him, but you've seen him enough stuff where you've seen his face and recognize him. So having him play Vigo's brother was a nice touch. And then for people who may not have known what type of movie it is, and he's kind of like giving a breakdown like the first one. He did all this over a dog in a car. And that the whole setup is kind of like they treat him like, I don't know if the first one kind of did too, but this one reinforced like he's almost like the damn Terminator.
Mm-hmm. The way they everybody call him the boogeyman, like, for God's sake.
Yeah, so. Like everybody, because there's all these badass people like crime lords and crime boss and assassins like talk about John Wick like, no thanks, I ain't messing with him. And it's like that first, like, just think about it. He goes in, like, he's choking people, goes in there, he gets hit by a taxi, beats people up, get hit by another taxi, beats people up again, ducks getting hit by a third taxi, beats up more people, and then finally sees a big guy and he's like, you know what, forget all this, and just kneecaps him. Like, little stuff. Like, people were going between, like, laughing their ass off at the humor and just amazed at the action. Like, the action was top-notch. And the best thing I liked about it, did you notice how they were fighting in the beginning? Like, the fights looked like, notice how Keanu was throwing punches? I don't know if you noticed that.
What do you mean?
No, you know how known people fight and they throw like their little quick jabs, like hit you like 50 times in like 30 seconds. No, Keanu is winding his entire body back, throwing hips, hips into it. Like it's like somebody like realistically trying to hit you. And you usually don't see that in movies because it kind of looks like it's a slow motion. But when it looks like it hurts, like somebody winding back and then just punching you with good form and not like snapping at you. Like, it's funny where a movie that's as hyper action as it is seems so grounded and realistic in its action, which is weird considering with the movie we saw a guy get hit with a taxi twice.
Well, yeah. Well, then he also, which apparently was really him, when the door comes off the car, he gets hit and falls out of the car. That was really him doing that. Which, you know, as much as we talk about Tom Cruise and how crazy he is, I'm thinking Keanu might be a little nutso too for doing some of this stuff. Because I'm not going to say kill yourself, I mean, possibly, but I don't see how the hell you survived something like that. It looked realistically terrible and just awful.
It's the funny thing where Keanu Reeves is gonna, he's a professional. Like, he takes pride in doing what he does. And we used to share the video, like, here's him at the gun range. Here's him, like, he said, if I got an AR-15, I want to look like I know what I'm doing. I want to be able to reload it and stuff. Like, he does stuff Tom Cruise does, but he's not over, like, Tom Cruise seemed to enjoy doing it and letting everybody know how much he enjoyed doing it. Keanu Reeves just does it because it's necessary for the role. Like, but he doesn't go about bragging about it. It's kind of like he low-key does the same thing Tom Cruise does. And considering the fact that, you know, he's, what, 50? 51?
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah.
You couldn't tell watching it. Like, he does not move around like an old man. He definitely doesn't look like an old man. And it's like, he looks like somebody that, but he looks like somebody that's been through life, if that makes sense. And which fits the role. And it's funny where I couldn't think of another actor that could play the role in the movie be as well. Like, there's plenty of people that could do action stuff, but I don't think people have like that sad gravitas to make, because it's kind of like if you strip away with it, it's just a guy running around shooting people. That could be a boring movie if it's the wrong people doing it. Like, you've seen good action or we've seen stuff like that before. I think Keanu doing it and putting all that heart into it with the last movie and this one is kind of like, which makes the movie special. Like, you see the beginning, Peter Storm, like, they keep going back and forth. You see Stormare's face when he's hearing the guy screaming and all this stuff happening. It's kind of like, you know, like, it's almost like when you go and sign your divorce papers, like, let's just get this over with. Like, you know it's coming, and everybody's telling you, why don't you just do this, and why don't you just do this? Like, saying, oh, why don't you just stop it from raining? Is the look he has on his face when everybody's telling him, why are we worried? Even people who know John Wick and know he's a badass, like, why don't you just fix it? And it's like, it's rules. Like, you know, this guy killed my nephew and my brother. But he has a reason for doing it. Like, he has to play his role, I have to play mine. But it's funny how they ended. Like, they just go there, truce. Like, have a drink, and it's kind of like, you know why I'm here. We don't really got to keep on doing this. Like, just let this be. And even though he's asking, like, can a man like you really have peace? And that's basically the basis of the whole damn movie. And it's set up in, like, that beginning 10 minutes.
One thing, going back to the fighting part, and I noticed this. I'd have to watch other Keanu Reeves movies. Is he bow-legged, or was that him showing like the effects of getting beat up so much and getting hit by cars?
Because I think he walks normally, because I've seen him walk normally.
Okay, so all right, so then that's a hell of a job then, because when he's fighting the guys, now that you mentioned it, yeah, I did notice now. Yeah, he's pulling back. It wasn't like, you know, the haymaker sort of thing. But I noticed as the movie progressed, his, like, gait, or is that what it's called? The hitch in your giddy-up, whatever, was getting a little slower. He was getting a little more plodding, which made sense because he's getting his ass handed to him the whole time. But, yeah, here's a guy getting hit by cars, still fighting. But then I noticed in the opening scene, he only killed two people. And even then, it's kind of debatable. Because he came in, he chokes one guy out with the piano wire, I guess is what that's called. And then there was another guy where I think he broke his neck. I think, because they made a point of making everything loud. So
yeah, like he choked one guy out, and then the second guy he choked out with a piano wire, and then he was in there. He went and got in the car, and then they chased him.
Yeah.
And then he was just, you know, he just got pissed off, like, you know, I just want my car, let me be. Almost murders the guy in a motorcycle with his car, goes back and just beats them up, and he's getting hit by taxis before he has a truce. It's kind of, and you see, like, you know, he rolls with the, you know, he rolls with the effect of getting hit by a taxi, but he's walking like, yeah, I just got hit by a damn taxi.
Which, and I don't know how your theater was set up, and maybe it was ours, but the gunshots were obscenely loud. And any of the action, especially when he was that a Mustang in the beginning? That was his car, was a Mustang, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a car guy, so I think that's what it was. But anyways, the car was really loud, but the gunshots were just ridiculous. In that opening scene, he doesn't really shoot the gun a whole lot, I noticed.
No, he only shot it for the big dude.
Yeah, you know who that was?
No, I didn't recognize him.
Viktor Kozlov, the wrestler.
He looks familiar, but I didn't recognize him.
Yep. It's good old Viktor Kozlov. You know, the Russian that loved America on SmackDown? I think that was his name.
Vladimir,
that's it.
I love WWE.
Yes, that was him. Yes. So that's two John Wick movies and two former wrestlers.
Kevin Nash got the better end of that bargain. So
yeah, well, at least Vladimir's still alive, so that's positive.
Yeah.
But that's why I was like, he's not killing anybody, so something's going on here. And then when he busts in and he just pours drinks, you're like, oh, he's just going to share a last drink with the guy. He busts out the piece, and the other guy doesn't want to accept it, but it's like, well, I'm dead if I don't. That's where you kind of got... That's where the world building to me started. That you can do all this heinous stuff and just go, all right, I'm done with you. So
the base of this whole movie, and it kind of built on the first one, is like everything is done based off rules. Like we all have rules to do things, and that's why the world works. And from the time, like, we can, you know, because from the time the Italian guy shows up, Santino shows up to his door, John Wick life is done based off those rules. And I was thinking like that after I watched the movie. It's kind of like, once he shows up the door, there's nothing John Wick can do where things will not end badly. Mm-hmm. Even though it's in, because he's kind of like, you know, I'm here for a favor. Like, he knows why he's here. And like, you could tell, like, I'm going to let you in the house, but like, I really don't want you here. And like, his first thing is like, no. Dude didn't even ask, dude didn't even say why he's there. He just said no. And the guy's like, you know, I'm the one. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be where you are now. Like, I'm the reason why you were able to get out this life and get, you know, get with your woman that you love so much that they reinforced in the first one. And he's like, I'm not that guy anymore. And dude is like, you're going to always be that guy. And I just saw you come out of retirement and shoot 72 people. So don't, like, yeah. And I knew it was coming because I saw the previews. I didn't realize it was going to be like 30 seconds after he leaves the house. He blows up his damn house.
Okay, that goes back to what you said earlier, though. This is a movie that knows what it is and isn't dicking around. Like, it was, all right, he showed up. Well, in this world, there's no like, I can't believe he didn't do this, or I can't believe this is happening. And, well, we got to plan something. We got to do this. No, it's, you said no, you're going down. And that's it. There's no, they already did all the planning off screen. They've got, like, their agenda. They've, you know, he had to have figured it wasn't going to work. But yeah, I mean, he just, what kind of gun was that, by the way?
Grenade launcher.
Is that what that was? God damn.
Yeah.
Was his house made of matches? Holy shit, that thing went up quick.
I mean, he shot three times. You know, the gun Whistler's face had in Predator. That's what that was. Poncho, the short Mexican guy.
Oh, that's the same. Mean, that's a, well, I guess it's a new version of the gun, but yeah.
I mean, it's the same. It's the same gun. Like you shoot three grenades in a house. I don't care what your house. I don't care what your house made out of. Like, yeah, you shoot three damn grenades in a house.
What's funny is I expected his house to be concrete. I'm like, all right, so the metal burned up, but that's it. And then I do like how, like, no one in the theater thought any differently because of how quick it happened and seeing the previews, you knew the dog wasn't inside, so that was nice. So
it's funny, in my theater, people said, thank God, when they saw the dog was alive.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like they figured it wasn't going to happen again, but you know how people feel about dogs. But it's funny here, like, comparing the villains, like, the first one, the dad is almost like Michael Nyquist is almost like Paul Newman in Road to Perdition. Like, I know my son's a fuck up. I love John Wick more than I love my own son, but I got to protect my son, even though I know it's probably not going to end well. It's kind of like I'm resigned in my feet. Like, I'm an honorable man, but we got to do what we got to do. And it's kind of like I'm stuck between because my son did a stupid thing. Same way like Paul Newman and Daniel Craig and Tom Hanks where he loved Tom Hanks more than Daniel Craig. But it's kind of like I got to protect my son even though I don't want to because business is business. This one, this dude was just an asshole. Like he was just greasy Euro trash, like slimy.
Yeah.
I'm cultured and stuff and all this. Basically, this whole thing is I got passed over. It's not fair. So I want this spot, okay. And I'm gonna make you do it. Like that's it. Like it wasn't no honor or anything like that, or follow the rules. It's kind of like I got dicked over by daddy, and that's not fair. Almost like the Gladiator, more or less.
Hey, well, that's true.
Joakim Phoenix. Like it's not fair. I got dicked over, so I'm gonna get what's mine.
Oh my goodness! All right, I jumped ahead to something else. I was just looking at. I didn't realize who that was. I didn't realize who Frank Nero was.
Yeah, Django.
Wow, the original Django. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ah, I'm like, it was driving me nuts when he was in there. I'm like, I know who this is. And I could not put two and two together. That's great.
And since you jumped there, one of the biggest laughs in movies when he first shows up there, and he just has one question, like, are you here for the Pope?
Yeah. what a great Catholic.
and he's like, it's funny when he first said it, people didn't get what he was asking. Then when Keanu was like, "No, dude," caught a deep breath. People caught the joke and started laughing. He's like, "Okay, whoa, welcome to Rome, more or less."
Yeah, I enjoyed that part. I was like, "Yes, typical Catholics, just do whatever. Just don't mess with the Pope. All right,
it'll be fine." It's hilarious. So. It's just hilarious. People think John Wick might be there to knock off the damn Pope.
what a coup that would be, but. Yeah, that cracked me up. And that's where, like, the world building, you know. Okay, so to back up a little bit, I liked the fire, the police show up. What did he say? It was an electrical fire that started in the basement?
Gas leak,
that was it.
Like, oh, what's up, John? Gas leak? He's like, yeah.
Okay. So,
working again? Like, see you. He's like, see you later. And then it's like, oh, dude's like, oh, shit's going down. Like, he burned down his house. Burned the, like, remember him, his wife and stuff, and it's kind of like, you know, so he goes to the Continental, talks to Winston.
Well, first, they did confirm that the dog is just called the dog.
Yeah, this dog doesn't have a name, because they was asking, like, what's the dog's name? He doesn't have one. Like, okay, so he's there, and Winston is just kind of like, what you thought was going to happen? Like, why, like, you know, basically, it's funny, based on the conversation, you could tell, like, the dude he made the deal with is not, like, the type of guy you make that type of deal, which shows how desperate Keanu must have been to get out the life and marry this woman. Because, like, why'd you made a blood oath with this type of person, like, and then you said no? You should be happy you just burned your house down. Like, what you think was going to happen? And it's funny with a conversation where they reinforce the universe. Basically, it's like, you know, he's got a blood oath, so if you don't do it, they kill you. If you kill him first, they kill you. And if it was, like, something else, like, if you try to run... they kill you. Like, basically why he has to do what he has to do, and they just explain it, you know, one sentence explains this whole thing, because it's kind of like, well, what's such a big deal that Keanu has to do this? And he just explained, well, these are the rules. And the whole, it just reinforced the movie, like, this movie is basically about people following rules, because of why else, how else could this stuff happen without any consequence, any issue. If it wasn't rule, like, and the guy said, you know, without rules, we run with the animals.
Which is an accurate line, but also it, even saying it like that still makes him sound like kind of like pretentious.
I don't know. Which, sounds like somebody was... that it sounds like somebody that talks about a certain crowd when he goes to the movies that he tries to avoid.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Good call. I've come around on that one then. Yep. Yeah. Follow the rules, primitives. Anyways, yeah, no, but this is where I think the world building really got going. I mean, is it a medallion? I guess. Yeah. I'll say medallion with the blood fingerprint, and then the end. Okay, I just watched an entire movie of people getting shot in the head. The awful scene of the girl committing suicide.
Oh, that was, yeah, we gotta talk about that when we get to it.
But then when he pricks his finger or thumb on the point on the medallion, I just was like, oh God, it's like, oh, I can't like, anytime they're like, all right, we gotta prick your finger, it's like, oh, can you just put a bullet in my foot or something? I don't know. It's totally unreasonable, but it's just the worst. So, but yeah, but that's what, like, you had the concierge. You know, is the manager in? Well, the manager's always in. Manager's there. Now, who was Frank Nero, though? Was he owner of the hotel?
He was the manager and owner of the Italian branch of the Continental. Like, I guess he was the manager of the Continental. Like, I think Winston runs all the Continentals, and, like, Frank Nero was just the manager of that particular one. It's how, I think that's how they – that's how they set it up. Like, Winston owns all of them. And it's whoever runs, like, each person just runs – different one and whatever different country they have, which is so, and it's funny, it's kind of like, okay, so it's a worldwide thing, and he goes there and he's beating it, like, you know, he gives a gold to a, like a little Chinese tailor, he goes, you know, has that, you know, she doesn't say a word, but yep. you know while she's there, gives one to, what's that, Peter Serafinovich,
I think that's how you say it. Yeah.
Yeah, the sommelier, and yes, this whole, like, which gun, and, like, I need something for dinner. I need a quick snack. Like,
desserts. Ah, dessert. And it's
I need something robust. And, like, the whole thing is just straight gun porn. But they don't, but everything is kind of, like, explained, like, you know, we're not just picking stuff just to pick stuff. We're picking stuff because it serves tactical reasons. And then the guys like the suit. I need, you know, one for daytime, one for night. A three button, a tactical Italian cut, and da 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 da, and can you ship, like, everything? Like, it's a whole system. It's not just a hotel. It's like a whole. You got a teller. You got a doctor. You got a whole infrastructure of assassins. But they had to, and they set it up like in the beginning. We talked to Winston, is the dude that shows, you know, the new minting of the gold coins they use. Talking about, you know, put these in circulation, where it's like a whole universe that's underneath ours. That's basically hiding in plain sight. Stuff that goes in, because how else was some, like, and it's funny, I watched the movie and I never thought anything of it. It just seemed natural, like, of course, something like, and I think Kingsman did the same thing to a certain sense, like, it just seems natural stuff to be done this way because it just fits. Mm-hmm. And they don't beat you over the head with it. It's like they sit it there and you watch and it's like, that's enough. Like, you don't need to know how long it's been around or who developed it. You just, that's the best type of universe building, when they just sit you in the universe, they explain the basic rules, and they just go with it.
Well, isn't that kind of a problem of more modern movies? Like, everyone wants to, like, I don't know if it's a case of where the general audience wants to know this stuff, but there's enough of a voice that's like, well, this doesn't make sense, or why is this, to where creators have to go backwards and be like, all right,
no,
well,
it's a case
now we
got to
explain this. Yeah. It's like, well, no, that's why I enjoyed this. Everything's, you know, set up. So
it's a case of curiosity killing the cat, and it's the whole thing. Because think about Star Wars works because you have all this stuff going on. They just plop you into it. You don't know. They tell you stuff, but they don't show you. They say, oh, we had a galactic war, the Clone Wars, and this and this and this, and all this stuff happened and everything. And that's it. They just talk about it. And it's kind of like they sit you in the middle of a story and you just keep up with the story. Like, you're aware of all this stuff that happened a zillion years ago, but that has basis what's happening now, but they don't show it to you. It's like, I don't need to know how Darth Vader became Darth Vader. I just know Darth Vader's a badass. But it's when people's like, I wonder how he became that way, and people ask questions, and it's kind of like they think they want to see it to their show. The same thing with like Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Like Lord of the Rings, it's amazing how they build up stuff that happened 10,000 years ago, and like that prologue to explain stuff that's happening now. It's like, it's no way to, you have to be very smart and be able to do that. And John Wick the same way. Like they build this universe, but they don't tell you. They just show, like, show don't tell. That's the that's the number one thing with movies like that. Movies that show you stuff works. When they start explaining, like people, like we make the joke all the time. When you want a hamburger, you just want the hamburger. You don't really need to know the history of the cow that was killed to make that damn hamburger, the science behind it. Sometimes you just want the damn hamburger. And this is, John Wick did that.
Well, hell, I don't even want to know the process of killing the cow. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, just present it. I don't need to get involved with this sort of thing. So,
yeah. But so, but I'm sorry, but he's there. He's getting the maps and everything. He's getting the weapons and stuff. And it, oh, and the funny thing we almost skipped, because we talked before he goes to Rome, he goes back to the guy and he's asking, like, you know, like, what's this mission about? And the guys are saying, you know, it's my sister. She's got the spot. I want the spot. And I want to, you know, take over New York and everything like that, because I feel like I can do better than she can. And that's it. Like, that's his whole plan. Like, he took this guy out of retirement because he just wants more power. Like,
yep.
Simple stuff. And, you know, it's the first time you see his bodyguard, Ruby Rose, looking as exotically beautiful and alien as ever, not saying a word except for using sign language.
Yeah, It was to me. I was like, "Why is she using sign language?" I mean, I guess she was deaf. I guess
they never say why. You just assume she is, and that's another thing where you just, okay, she's there. She uses sign language. I guess she doesn't talk. Like, she makes noises when she fights, but she never says a word. And then the whole, she got this. She had this whole like playful like flirting / I don't know if I'm gonna screw you or shoot you type vibe with Keanu and everything, like patting him down and stuff. And Keanu's all, it's funny where he's all put upon because like, I'm still missing my wife, and just leave me alone type thing.
I'm going back to the deaf thing only because, well, I mean, I guess it's When they're in like the catacombs or the cave or whatever that was after, he's trying to escape the club or the house, whatever it was. She's pointing around as if she can like hey, this way, because she heard something. I don't know. I mean she's not Daredevil, so
she's not. You know? I don't think she's deaf. I just think she. But I mean, you can be mute and not be deaf.
Oh yeah, No. That part, yeah. But I'm just thinking. Like it, she was acting as if she could hear the sounds. So I don't know. Oh no, I see what you mean. I'm sorry, I see what you're getting at. Yeah, I don't know.
She probably could hear because she had a good set of working ears that were probably better than normal because she had to use them. So, but you know, they go to the whole catacomb, like they go to the whole party, and it's like this Italian rave thing going on, and it's funny where they do better job of building characters that you barely see and barely know in like 2 minutes than a lot of movies do in like the whole movie, because you don't know anything about this girl or Common. Like, you see the girl, like you see him walking in, so you know she's styled to the nines. Common's there looking like a badass himself. Common was awesome in this movie.
We were gonna get to him, don't worry about that.
Yeah, so I'll just say that before we get to him, I'll just say I would have never thought he'd action henchman would have been his thing, but hey, whatever works. So it's there, she has a meeting with this guy, and you don't know what the guy is saying, like, you know, we don't like how you took power and anything like that, you kind of coerced us. And she's like, the knife, you know, like, be happy the knife wasn't really at your neck, it was supposed to be at your children, like, I'm kind of letting you off easy, so let stuff be. Basically, like, you don't really know what they're talking about, but you get the idea, like, this isn't a woman to be trifled with. And then she's just there chilling. Then 1 second she's there by herself, and then the next second, who pops up? The damn book, John Wick, just looking in the mirror, and she's like, and she sees him, and she knows the deal, and she's like, yeah. I guess this is the end. And it gets to the scene where I don't know if it bothered you more or bothered me more. Like, they had to talk saying, you know, why this is being done. It's like, I had a marker, I didn't have a choice. And she's like, I understand. Like, was she worth it, this woman, for you to do all this? Which, and then she's like, she can't help kneeling. Like, what would your woman think of you now? What would she think of you doing this right now? Like, you know. And he just got this look like, lady, come on now.
So you're
like,
not making this easier.
Yeah, and then once she was messing with the scissors, at first I thought she's not gonna try to throw them at him. And then once she kept messing with and got in the tub, I knew exactly what she's gonna do, because I remember Godfather 2. And
well, yeah, they kept hinting around with the water, because they purposely kept showing it. I mean, it was obviously in the middle of the room, but mm-hmm. there was always in view. And she started taking her clothes off, and I'm like, wait a second. Is she? And I went, uh-oh, this is, yeah, she's taking herself out. And, oh.
Yeah.
It's like, is there a worse suicide? Like, I'm sure there is, but to watch in like that, like,
you know,
they didn't even get that graphic with it. It was just like, it was, the sound wasn't that loud on it, but it was just the motion and just knowing what she's doing. Like, oh my god, this is, ugh.
You know what's hilarious about it? I remember the Godfather 2 when they making a big deal about how they done this and it's so peaceful, it's like falling asleep. And like when Tom Hagen had that speech to the guy, you know, forgot his name, and then you see him, like, you see the aftermath, but you don't see him doing it. So I'm thinking about that and I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, this don't seem peaceful. Like, it might be for the person, but I'm watching it, and with a movie with punches and kicks and people getting their neck broke and gun people getting shot in the head, that scene just seemed, it wasn't even violent. It was just how they shot in this, the film, like, knowing what she was doing. I was like, cringe. My whole body was cringe. I was like, ugh. Like, it just,
yeah,
like, it just felt painful. Him there, like, and so he's just like, no.
Yeah. Sorry,
he's asking, like, you know, why are you doing this? Like, kind of like, you know, I live my life my own way. I'm going to end it my way. And, you know, she's just there. And then people wonder, like, well she's going to die. Why did he shoot her? It's like, well, he has to have confirmation that he did it. That's the only thing that makes sense, because otherwise you can just walk away and keep it moving.
Yeah, which makes that look even more brutal if you think about it. He slit her wrist, then shot her in the head. Like, goddamn, dude. I mean, I guess he's the boogeyman, but even that seems a little excessive. For this world, yeah. It certainly seems excessive.
Well, it's like, you know, confirmation to kill.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and, well, that's later. But, yeah, it's the violence in this. It's funny. This was, I had two thoughts combined, sorry. This movie was incredibly violent, but it wasn't gory at all.
Like, it's two parts. It was that part and the part with the pencil.
Yes. Well, see. All right. I didn't think that the suicide was gory. I thought it was just unsettling and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And even like they showed, like, when she picked her wrist up and they were just bleeding down her arms, I was like, oh man, that stinks. And to be understatement, but I wasn't like, oh god, I don't want to. This is gross or anything. It was just, it was like an inevitability by then. But yeah, because even like this scene, I'm not blowing over the pencil, trust me, but even going through like the scene where he's running through the tunnels, I'll call them, he's shooting people, shooting them in the head, close range, like long range, all this stuff, knife fights, nothing was like sensationally like gory. It was what it was. Like, you know, you got little splatters here and there. I think doing it in the dark helped. You can kind of cover some of that stuff up. But then, yeah, when he gets back to New York, he's on his way back to New York, and, you know, the contract gets called in, and they brought it up in the first movie, they brought it up in the beginning of this, and as soon as I saw he picked up that pencil, I was like, we're going to see how he does it. It wasn't even like a necessary item to do, because just the idea of killing people with a pencil is ridiculous. But then you see it, and it's like, oh, that's brutal. And it worked.
Well, it would take brutality. Like, it's funny where like the Joker trick from The Dark Knight where he has the pin and does it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it happens so fast, you don't realize what happened until it happened. But like, you know he killed a man, he jabbed a pin in somebody's brain, but since you don't see it and don't see the blood, it's kind of like, did I see what I saw? And it, like this one, like, yeah, you saw what you saw. Like, you saw the damn pencil and he did it, but it wasn't that, it was fast, but it wasn't like super fast. So, but back to, we jump back after he kills the girl, he's walking, and then Common, named Cassidy, movie sees John. John sees him, and it's like, yeah. But it's almost kind of like, it's funny where they know exactly what's going on, and they don't, like, they say within three words, he's like, why
you are here for, like, working tonight? Unfortunately.
You had a good day? He's like, yeah. He's like, that's too bad. Just in that little conversation, they had six words, and they know exactly what happened. Like, he knows why he's here. He wouldn't be here just for any reason. So if it's something successful, that means, yeah. And then their first instance is like, they thought the same thing. Pulled a gun out and shoot each other and realized they had the same suit on. And it's just, like, it's just funny how they had the same idea after, like, and it's that whole universe. Like, they know each other. They know the codes and the rules and stuff and everything. So, and then Common checks on his, basically his ward, sees she goes the way she goes out and just pissed beyond belief. And it's funny, you were wondering why John Wick set the guns up the way he did, thinking I'm just going to go out, like, just in case, like, he leaves a gun here, gun there. Like, he kind of knew, like, stuff may go sideways, but it's the whole thing, is like, he didn't have a choice. So he shows up and he sees the girl and he's like, oh, one more loose, you gotta clean up loose ends. And she does the sound like only one with the middle finger. And then it's the whole tunnel scene, which felt like, it's funny watching these movies when it actually feel like, if you played Call of Duty and you knew exactly what you were doing, like with a cheat code, that's how they would look. Like, everything was just precise and just on point, but you could see everything. Like, it wasn't the whole, like, taking, you need nine jump, like, I always laugh at taking three, you need nine jump cuts to show Liam Neeson jumping over a fence.
Yeah, well, it is Liam Neeson, you know, he's almost 60, I think.
Yeah, so it's but if you ever seen on, I think you've seen on YouTube, I showed it to you, like, it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And they've
yeah,
made that, yeah. Yeah. So, but it's kind of like, everything is like, you know, why, you see the action going on, you see how he's doing it, and it's kind of like, he just, it's not like he's a super, it's almost like, it's right in that borderline between, I'm just super trained and I'm a superhero. Like, it looks believable enough if you picture somebody that's been training their whole life to do it, because they say the thing about John Wick is, he's patient, he's dedicated, and he's focused, and he doesn't have fear. So it's kind of like, I know what I'm going to do, and I don't have to think about it. So if you have that mindset, you have an advantage over anyone else who does it. So you can see that going. But it's just like, you know, I know when to reload. I'm reloading while I'm choking this guy out. Make sure I don't forget any bodies. I make sure I'm going to pop you and everything. And it's just like, these people are trained people. They don't have a damn chance. Like, it isn't. He's just hitting people at most twice. I'm going to hit you in the stomach and hit you in the head. Hit you in the knee, hit you in the head. Like, everybody's getting a headshot. Like, even if you got shot in the chest, you're getting a headshot because you don't get up from that. And you see all that going on. Ruby Rose is smarter than, like, yeah. Y'all go get him. I'm going to wait right here. Like, y'all handle, like, yeah, she went to the henchman leadership school of business. Like, I'm going to send the red shirts in first. And if y'all get lucky, call me. But I'm not jumping in first. And then they get to the fight scene with Common, which was just awesome.
Yeah. He surprised me in this. Like, I guess I don't know exactly, like, what I expect out of him. Because to me, it's just like, he's still the rapper guy. Like, and I know he's been doing movies for a long time, don't get me wrong. So to see him in, and it wasn't even a role that required a lot of speaking. So he had to emote with his emotions, facials, all that. And boy, that worked. So maybe he just found his wheelhouse with this stuff. I don't know. But it just worked. And I loved the whole fight scene going all over. That, them falling down the stairs. You know whatever. I mean,
it was.
They pushed him with that. But
it was funny because it was kind of like the first time you could see it. But by the time I got to the third time, people were just laughing because it was, you know what? The movie is self-aware. Like, they knew it. How, that's the thing why this, one of the reasons why this movie worked. that scene works because it knows the crowd that's watching that movie. Like, they know it's ridiculous. Like, you've seen these two men just punch each other and rolling down three flights of stairs. And you remember when remember I talked about Lone Survivor when they fell down the mountain like twice?
That's exactly what I always think of now.
Yeah. And the difference is they played that in like so serious and stuff, like it's just heroic stuff. And we watching it, and I'm like, this is nonsense. And this will be true story stuff. And this is like, you know, Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote, Acme industry nonsense. This movie is like, it's Earth. It's the planet Earth, but it ain't like our Earth. Like, it's everything has its own like heightened awareness thing. So you can get away with stuff like that because they've established stuff like that. Like, these two are like badasses of the trade. And so I was just laughing at that. And it's funny where, yeah, he's been doing the action thing for a while. Like, he was in Smoking Aces, like his first one. He was in Wanted. He was in Run All Night when he was like the main henchman chasing after Liam Neeson. And it was funny where he was like this gentle, like he didn't, it was like the gentle killer makes sense. His whole thing, like he was just, you know, his whole face show, he just adored the person he protected. Like, you can tell they had like a relationship, not like business, like that's my bodyguard type thing. It's kind of like she can count, like even she said, like, you know, where would I be without you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah. And like she count on him. And then the look he gave, like, you know, this is my woman I'm protecting, I put my life on, and you just came in and just ruined it. And they're going at it. And it's funny where this is like the first one. Well, even John Wick 1, when they had the fight scene with the Russian guy after he, like, when they were in the club. And yeah, that was kind of like, that was almost a standstill, but that was after, like, you know, he had fights and stuff. I guess this one was too, but this one seemed like this the first time it was like he fought somebody like on even standing.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No, that's what I was thinking watching this, because I'm never a fan of like trying to even the hero out. Like, you gotta have, you know, obviously some sort of conflict where the hero, you know, gets put behind the eight ball. So when Common came in and he's going toe to toe with him, I'm like, what? Wait a second. And then it slowly started dawning on me, and really it was the effectiveness of the fight scene that, well, this guy is basically, you know, whatever, I don't know what John Wick was called. Are they hitmen? Or they weren't cleaners. Whatever they were, you know, that's what he was. So yeah, it is, just because we haven't heard of, was it Cassius? Right?
Cassian.
Cassian. Just because we haven't heard of Cassian doesn't mean he's not like another John Wick. Maybe he doesn't have the cool resume item of killing people with a pencil, but he could be just as dangerous. So,
yeah, like, I looked at it like,
it was easy to accept after a while, especially when that fight scene went on for a while.
Yeah, like, they started with guns for like a good 30 seconds, and it's kind of like they're using the same tactics and everything, and then they go on that, and they were like doing realistic fights where nothing seemed fast, but everything seemed deliberate. Like, I'm trying to punch the shit out you. Like, I'm gonna, because Common was doing the same way. I'm gonna lean all the way back, keep my balance, I'm gonna throw my hip into it, and I'm gonna try to punch you right in your damn sternum. Like, it's funny where those fights seem to have more resonance than a lot of the martial arts fights where you do like spin kick three people in 3 seconds, because it's kind of like, I know it hurts in real life, but sometimes it doesn't seem like it hurt because it's just moving so damn fast. Like, this one, it's funny, like, slow violence always seems like it's more violent because it's slow. But this one, it's like everything's deliberate, and you can see everything. So it's like he's trying to kick him. I'm trying to break your kneecap. I'm trying to choke you out. We're rolling down the steps, and
just
then
trying to stab you.
Yeah, they keep rolling, and where did they fall into? Right into the Continental Hotel, and it's like,
that was okay. So great. And the reason, well, one, it was just cool because if you haven't, because Kevin said he's going to go see it Sunday. And he says, well, I need to hurry up and see the first one. I was like, yeah, you do. Because it's not like the plot of it, guy kills dog, he goes kills people. It's all the little pieces, like going to the Continental. You can't fight in there. You can't shoot it. You can't kill in there. What happens.
Yeah, you saw what happened to Adrian Palicki when she did it. And it's funny where, because it leads to the end where this movie is about rules, and you're wondering, like, how does John Wick get out of this? Because even then, you know, he does all this, and they rolling in, guys kind of looking at him like, you know the rules, right? Like, why don't y'all get a drink? And then they get a drink. They both, it's funny where they were trying to murder each other, but they're such men of principle and follow the rules, where they're going to follow the rules, and they're having a drink, and he's explaining to him, like, I had to do what I had to do. And Kyle was like, I understand. You didn't have a choice, but you know I got to do what I got to do.
Mentor.
Because that's my ward, and you did it. Because John Wick asked, like, oh, you know, you think am I free? And he's looking at him like, do you think you're free? Like what do you think? Like, you saw what you just did. Like, what do you think? And it's funny how they're having the conversation. And in the background, and they did a good job with the camera. You can see her, but they're not paying attention. Like, Ruby Rose is there the whole time. And they don't pay attention to her till the end, but you can see her if you're looking. But they get
oh,
a
you
job.
Know what?
Like,
I didn't pick up on that at all.
I saw that and started laughing. Like, she's just sitting there with this, like, small smile on her face, just listening to this whole conversation. And she's, like, blurred because they don't have the focus on her. But if you just look to the side, you can see her. And then, you know, with Common Lead after having a drink, you know, then they focus on her, you know, and everything like this. And it's kind of like, you know, and she's flirting with him. She's flirting with him. The whole thing is like kind of like, you know, don't worry about him because, like, I'm going to get you next time. Because she knows the rules, too. So she can just be in there and just taunt him and, like, he can't really do anything.
And that's what I thought was so. All right. So this movie basically structurally does that a couple times. It tells you the rules. And then they get broken, or they do something to show you how something is supposed to be, and then to show you the desperation or how you can use those rules to your advantage. Because at the end, what the hell was his name? God, the bad guy's name. The main bad guy, I should say.
Santino.
Santino. Which is just kind of funny if you watch wrestling, that Santino's the bad guy. But I mean, he's just sitting there, he's like, I can just stay here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
they got all. Let's not, you know, I know we jump around, but we'll get to it. Like, talking about Duck Fat makes things so much better, and it does. By the way,
yes,
I like that. It's kind of like, you know, it just got so many recipes, and I can try them all out. But anyway, so that whole thing goes, and she's kind of like, you know, I must. And it's they play it to it later, like, you know, I'll see you again, John Wick. He's like, not if I see you first. And then it's kind of like the guy puts the contract on him, and you see how that whole thing works. Where it's basically an old phone company where everyone has arm tattoos. Every woman on there like has arm tattoos, and it's kind of like all different ethnicities and stuff and everything just working there, this business and how it goes out. And they do it old fashioned. They do the type it up and check the code, authorization complete, and then it goes to everyone's cell phone.
Well,
don't
forget the old ass computers too.
Hmm.
Like, I'm guessing those computers aren't hackable that way. I don't know. It's so old, no one knows how to hack them.
Yeah. Best not to ask those type of questions.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny how it goes everywhere. And then you see, it's funny when he gets to New York, you see how big the universe really is. Because you got a lady playing a violin, you got chefs, you got garbage men. How many assassins are in New York? I know people make that joke about Marvel where it's kind of like they got 50 superheroes that live in the same damn city. And I was thinking about that laughing. It's like, okay, I know New York City is big. It has a lot of people. It's a very diverse crowd. They have a little bit of everything. But you just imagine like a violinist on her spare time is also a hit woman. Like this, you know, somebody, oh, you know, we take out trash during the week. And, you know, every now and then if you need some spare change, we kill people. Like that part just laughs. Like, you know, I run a hot dog stand when I'm not shooting people, and it's just funny. And they show the like all three things. That I don't know which one was the most violent one, or the violinist one just seemed like it's funny. She's playing her violin, that she pulls out, shoots him in the back, and then they're fighting. And one thing John Wick shows, they are not sexist.
No.
He's fighting that woman like
she started
she's a
it,
damn
so.
Dude. Like she started, like he broke her damn neck, and I was like, she had it coming, but ugh.
Yep. What? But that's the thing, and I think that's the reason I like the original Taken. Was mm-hmm. Liam Neeson was like, and one of the more famous scenes in there. If you don't tell me what I want to know, I'm going to shoot your wife. Well, I don't bang, just shoots her. Like there's. No questions. No, yeah. I'm giving you another chance. And that's what John Wick, the creators, have taken to an entirely different level. There's no witty play in between them. During fight scenes, it's we're fighting, or I'm trying to survive, I'm trying to kill you, whatever, however you want to look at it. There's not time, and as much as I enjoy, like, the old, you know, Schwarzenegger Stallone movies, there's no time for him to, when he's dead, kill somebody, go, your luggage, or whatever, some stupid shit like that. So when she attacks, I was like, honey, you're in for a bad, bad night. And then just takes her straight out. I liked that scene because he was fighting three different fights at different time periods, but they just kept interspersing them. Mm-hmm. The way he edited it out, I thought that was really good because you don't... This type of movie can really devolve quickly into, oh my God, it's nothing but fighting going on.
Yeah.
Or just shooting.
Like Hong Kong movies sometimes fall in that where kind of like, okay, the 40th time you see in there, like, okay, I know Billy Guy's a badass. He likes pigeons. Like, you need to break. And it's funny where it never, they do a good job of spacing it where you get the action, you let it breathe, you build up, you get another action, you let it breathe. It's kind of like they let you a chance to cool down and make the action seem important. And then once it's like ready to get to the action, because from like the first scene to the Rome scene, it's like what, 30? It's like a lot of time goes
it's,
by.
Yes. And that's why when the action kicks in all of a sudden, it's a real like eye opener, like, whoa, oh, here we go. It took them, I think, well, after the opening scene, I'd say almost 45 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, because they had to build the story of the movie, and then it built the story, and then it built the universe. Like, this is what we do, and this is why we do it. So he gets back to New York. Oh, and the fight with the sumo guy is hilarious because he's trying everything. He punched him in the balls.
He kicked him in the balls multiple times.
Mm-hmm, he shot him in the side, and then still wasn't working. Then he shot him in the top of his head, which was hilarious. And then he sees the guy get okay.
Starts getting up. I was like,
starts getting up. What? He's like, I'm like, that ponytail must have been thick as hell. Like, how's he getting up? And then he popped him again. So he gets there, and then it gets to the real funny part. Like, you know, he walks up to this bum. He drops a gold coin. So I want to see him. It's like, okay, what's this about? And then the bum is just there. Like, okay, I know who this is. Da, 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 da. Then he's like, can I get some change? Pops the two trash men that's going after him. Those are, you know, throwing a blink on John Wick, and it's like, wow.
Well, and don't forget, in between those fights, you know, this is where the pencil happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the legendary pencil.
He kills two guys with a pencil? It's like, wow.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, it was one in the air and the one in the back of the head.
What was worse?
The air? Because if you...
Yeah, that's true. Because
people have phobias and stuff. Like, back of the neck. Can you think like this? Back of the neck, you don't see it. Like, you're just done. The air, people have ear, like, stuff. Uh-huh. You always have phobia stuff crawling your ear. Like, that's why people sticking Q-tips and, like, you know, like that.
Oh, I can't stand that.
Yeah, so jabbing a damn pencil and just pushing it in and pushing his head in was like, yeah.
Well, it's funny because as much as I said, like, this movie wasn't gory, I think the ear part kind of... If it wasn't for the ear, it would have been totally non-gory outside of, you know, the usual. But
we almost skipped this when Khan wants to get a rematch. Beside the fact where John Wick almost castrates somebody when he jabs him in the damn groin with the knife or the scissors, and he almost pulled his damn intestines out. That one caught.
Well, I thought he was going for. Remember, there's that artery in your inner leg. If you cut, you're done.
Yeah,
that's what I thought that move was.
That angle was ambiguous the way they shot it. So you could use that as an excuse. It looked like he was right in the nuts. And whenever guys see that, they always cringe. Oh, and it gets to one of the funny parts. When Common shows up, they see each other. And they're shooting each other with the silencers like every 3 seconds.
That was so great. The lady next to me started, she's like, what? It's like, they're crazy. I was like, this is really funny. I found that scene humorous.
Oh, we were laughing our ass off because it is all like they're having a gunfight in public and no one knows. Mm-hmm. And it's just so like casual and random and stuff. And it was just hilarious. And then they get on the train and it is playing it out like, you know, one stop comes, they move a little closer. Next stop, come, they get a little close, they look an eye to eye. Like, they basically set up, like, this rematch. Like, they built into it, like, you know, these are two badasses about to do it. And you're warning, like, I got to the point where, it's funny, I was like, I hope Common doesn't die. And it's funny thinking about that in the movie. Like, that's how much of an impression he made, even though he barely said anything. And he's only in there for, like, two scenes. But it's kind of like, please don't die. at this point, like watching that, they had the knife. It wasn't really even a they like a fight. It was kind of like the fight didn't even last that long. It was just kind of like up close and brutal. And then he stabs him, but then it's kind of like, okay, is he dead? And it's kind of like, you know, if you take this knife out, you'll bleed to death. Said it's a professional courtesy, like, you know, leave it in here, you'll be fine. And that's it.
And then, well, what was funny was that comes into play with Lawrence Fishburne later.
Sure does.
When, which, you know, when he stabbed Common, I audibly said, oh, no. Like, it was weird that you got, like, well, for me at least, that I got attached to a guy that's got maybe four lines so far, and then maybe a little bit more than those. Because I forgot he was talking to
her. Oh, he might have been like, but he may have had like maybe six. He had like a few lines in Italian, and then like maybe what, five complete sentences? Because I'll be back isn't that long of a line, or yeah, like. But he didn't. It's funny where he did a lot of emoting just by being himself with his face and how he moved and stuff, and like they did emotions like they didn't. It's funny where a little words, because even John Wick didn't talk that much. Like, it was almost kind of like a Mad Max type thing where he didn't do a lot of talking. And it's funny where I felt the same way. Like, I didn't want him to die. I'm glad he didn't, more or less, because I could. They, and it's funny, like you said, it built up to Lawrence Fishburne. And yeah, Lawrence Fishburne in this movie.
He was just hamming it up and having a great time, it looked
like. You
know
what? You know why I liked how he did it? Because it reinforced it was on our Earth. Like the stuff about $7 million, we all going to Applebee's. The theater lost it.
Yes.
I lost it because that's just a line like, because everybody else is talking all proper and we got to follow the rules and everything's all, you know, old formal stuff like that. And it's this guy that's like busting out the 70s. Like, we gonna go to Applebee's.
Well, I guess Sizzler's not around anymore.
Yeah, so. And he got a lot of laughs because he was hamming it up. And it's just funny seeing them in the movie again because it's been such a long time since The Matrix was out. And I like, seeing this in, like, that vibe. And he's like, you know, Lawrence Fishburne has a way of, like, talking, like, where it's kind of like you just – even if you don't know what he's saying, you're listening to him. Yes. Like, you want to focus on him. And then he tells the story about, you know, you didn't even remember me. Like, I was some young punk, and you came up behind me, and da-da-da-da-da. Like, if you can do two things, you know, turn around, try to shoot me or bleed to death, or hold pressure on the leg. Like, I've held pressure on it, and that's why no one snuck on me ever since. And da-da-da-da. And they build it up like it's this bad, you know, it's basically like this. The king of the homeless assassins, more or less. Like, this crime boss that's feeding people when he's not shooting people. They got pigeons with phone chips in them and everything. And
they were flip phone chips. That's how low-tech they were going. Because if you look, they were all old-ass flip phones. I was like, okay. So it's I don't know. It's part of that world, but it's like, it's a very, I said primitives earlier, but it seems to be a very organized, primitive technology sort of thing, but all based off of respect.
You know what it is? It's Batman animated series, where they have dirigibles next to computer. Like, think about it, where you didn't know what the time frame was. They did it on purpose, like where you have old school dirigibles and stuff like that, and Batman has jets and computers.
Yeah.
Like, you have old school technology and new school technology. It's kind of like the same way where, okay, you got people using pigeons and typewriters, but they got Kevlar that can stop stuff from point blank range but can fit in a damn suit. So, and it's funny where they're getting the whole speech and everything, and he's kind of like, you know, he's like, why should I help you? You $7 million is $7 million, and you asking for a whole lot. And he's like, you know what's happening, because the girl, you know, warned him, like, you know, you kill me, he's gonna not just take over, he wants New York. And it's like, y'all can't kill him because he's backed by this crime family, and if y'all do, they come after you. If I do it, they come after me, but so what? And it's like, you know, either you're gonna in the whole line that get this man a gun, and it's kind of like, you know, are you gonna help? Are we going beef, or are you just going to help me? And he got a gun with seven bullets. He's like seven bullets. Like, $7 million gets you 7 bullets. This is $1 million shot.
And he wasted those shots on nobodies. I mean, I know he had to protect himself, but
So, and then the speech at the end where it's kind of like, you know, this guy will take you where you need to go. You're descent to hell. Remember, you owe me. And then it ties the movie like, you don't want me owing you. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, that's what the whole point of the movie is, like somebody, him owing somebody, it ended sideways. And it goes, and it leads to the end.
And I know we've been descriptive with the movie, but the ending, like, I'm always perplexed about how they shoot stuff with mirrors. Because you're spoiler for everybody, you're watching a movie, so there's a camera that's recording all this. And I purposely was looking, like, they got to slip up somewhere in here. They got to slip up somewhere. Nothing. So, I mean, I guess they could put a two-way mirror over the camera, but I think it would dull light. But it...
Say, Enter the Dragon did it, and that's the first...
Yeah.
It's funny, where whenever I think of those type of movies, that's the first one that comes to my mind is Enter the Dragon. Like, I don't know if that's the first one, but that's the most famous one that does the whole mirror thing. And the whole setup between, like, the mirrors and the different levels and the lighting, it was like... It was... But it's funny, it was awesome, but even before then, you know, he just showed, like, you know, you wonder, like, you know, sneak up on, like, he just walks up there. He just, he comes in, just walks in the room, Santino sees John, John sees Santino, Santino's like, it's funny where everybody's warning him about, like, he knows how badass John Wick is. That's the reason why he recruits him. Everybody's warning him about, you know what you're doing is stupid, right? And it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I know he's a badass, but I sent 50 people after him. And it's funny where even when it's established that John Wick is the damn boogeyman and everyone knows he is, it's still some people think, oh, this time it'll be different for me.
Yeah.
And even with the whole thing with, like, Vigo in the first one, like, he kind of knew how things were going to happen. He just had to play it out just because of tradition, where it's kind of like, I know more likely, even though... like, I'm going to die, and my son's going to die, but whatever. I got to do what I got to do. This asshole just keeps thinking, like, I'm going to get away with it because I'm a boss, and I, you know, the rules are my favor. And he just shows up, and then they had a gun scene. And my whole thing is, how come the bodyguard was – he had to call the bodyguard for them to show up? Like, why is she – she should have been there from Jump Street. She got to drive there. Was she on lunch?
I think she was somewhere else because – He was just hiding out there. But I don't know if he was hiding out there or if that's just where he is. And there was what happened before? There was something. I feel like there was a reason she wasn't around.
They were just saying that, you know, they found out where he was, like, he's at, you know, because he's always at this museum looking at art. He wanted to have a party for his coronation and everything and yada yada yada. You would think, but the whole thing is, like, you think in this big ass party and you having a coronation to celebrate stuff like that, even if you don't think John was going to show up, wouldn't you want to have security there? It's kind of like, because this whole thing is, I got every killer in the city wanting out after John Wick, so I don't have to send my bodyguards to do it. Like, he's going to be dead before he even shows up. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, just in case he shows up, I want my bodyguard there. Like, I'm not taking these chances. The fact that he had to drop, like, it wasn't like he didn't have any protection. But I'm like, I want head of security here when we got grand opening, more or less. I think that was just more like hubris and arrogance, and that fit in his character because that guy was arrogant as fuck.
And wasn't he hateable just looking at him?
Yes.
Like, that's one of those people you see, and he's like, "Now you're a dick." I mean, I don't. It's they could be doing, their contributions to charity could be numerous, and I'd still be like, "Nah, just look at him. Just that's a dick."
It's that skinny European metrosexual look.
Yeah, it's kind of like Jude Law. He could be a perfectly good dude. He looks like a dick. And so now that he's gotten older, he's kind of gotten gruff. So you're like, oh, okay, you're just a weathered older guy now. But before, when he first started acting, it was just punchable. And this guy was perfect for it. And there was a shot in the mirror, or what was it, Reflections?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Of course, in New York, some horseshit house of mirrors, but they have to call it Reflections into Your Soul. Okay. They had the camera was on the ground and he's fighting. And as the camera goes underneath him, comes back up, goes over the shoulder, and then as he's punching him, goes around to the side, and I'm losing my mind. Like, how are they doing this? And I'm sure technology's way different. But that was nuts. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about the fight scenes. They're long and there aren't too many edits in them.
Yeah.
Like when he's taking people out, that's one continuous shot. And I think people take for granted how hard that is, especially in an action scene.
Because all it takes is somebody to sneeze or slip or to angle up. That's why people do quick cuts. Because like, you have cuts, you can edit it. You can have a whole bunch of footage, make it any way you want. Those long forms, even though people say it's kind of overused now, like it's a reason they use. Like when it's done well, it looks awesome. It's just hard as hell to do. And yeah, they I'll have to give credit to the directors and right. They know what the hell they're doing when it comes to action. And I think it helps where they were like stunt guys first, kind of like, I know how stuff looks or how it's supposed to look in film. Like, it's funny where you can tell, like, music video directors are like that too, where they know how stuff's supposed to look. And it's funny, like, Michael Bay, like, a lot of them, their background was, like, music videos. So, like, Michael Bay was, like, a music director. It's kind of like, they know angles, they know sound, they know how stuff's supposed to move, and they know how we're supposed to look at it. And I think I like these more than, like, the Paul Greengrass shaky cam or the quick cut stuff, because it's kind of like, it's just jarring where, that's why I didn't like the first Batman Begins the action.
Yeah, no, I think that's a universal critique of that movie, though. And I think it's pretty well founded, too.
Yeah, and I think he did that on purpose because kind of like he wanted to make Batman look like a force of nature. Kind of like, you know, he's doing something and he's moving so fast and just primal, you can't see it. But it's kind of like you just see like a black blob and then people that falling down. Like it went too far. That's why. And you notice the other two movies is not like that. Like you see him doing stuff. And I don't know if it's more like, that was partly, we don't want to do the first one, or Christian Bale learned how to fight better, or what it was. It might have been a combination. Like this one, you see, it's never a part where you see that, and it's a lot of stuff going on, like you said, the angles. I always saw what was going on. I never felt like, I was just amazed like how he was doing, like the whole thing of the mirrors where you seeing the guy look in the mirror, and then you'll see John Wick sneak up on him, and you're like, how did they shoot that? And it's kind of like, you don't know what angle he's coming from. Or one time he opened up a door and just snatched the dude and everything. It's like, this is just some horror movie stuff.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Well, there was one, because they avoided the cliche of shooting the wrong mirror, thank God. And but there was the one where the guy took off and John Wick just shot through the mirror to his left and killed the guy.
Yeah, I saw
that was pretty sweet.
That was awesome. It's kind of like he knew, like he could see it, but we couldn't. And that's the perfect thing. It's like, you know, I guess he can just see stuff with his eyes, but like you're watching there, it's almost like it to us it looked like a trick shot. But him was like, I just aimed and shot because I saw him. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the other end where the whole thing is like, you know, Ruby Rose finally shows up, and it's kind of like, you know, I'm gonna try to save you. And then she kind of knows like, yeah, this is not gonna end well. But she got a job to do because he's like, you know, like you go ahead, I'm gonna finish this one way or the other, and like. They have a look, and it's kind of like, it's funny comparing the whole contrast, like how Common was in The Sister, and then this guy in Ruby Rose, where it's like, it was like mutual respect between Common and Italian Sister. And this one, like, it's kind of like, you didn't know how he felt. It was almost like he just cared about himself. And she probably got that vibe, like, she kind of know that too, but it's like, we all have our jobs to do. And she's going in there like, she knows she's not going to win, but she's not going to go out. She's not going to make it an easy win either. Like, the fight wasn't even that long, but that was a brutal-ass fight. And it's kind of like she looks at the gun and she realizes, I don't got any damn bullets. So I'm going to pull out my knife and...
Yeah, it didn't turn out well. Yeah.
I mean, but she tried. She was busting the knife work out. She's busting out the kung fu. Like, she gave him a good... It's funny, like, she's busting out all these moves, trying as hard as he can, and he just slinging the shit out of her.
And that's... I like that quite a bit because that's exactly what would happen. He's a lot bigger than she is. I mean, I know she's wearing a suit that probably gives her some, I guess, thickness or bulk.
Yeah,
but underneath that suit, she's not as big as he is. So,
yeah, and not only that, she got a. And it's funny contrasting that fight with the one in the first one where Adrian Palicki's a big bra. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. She's a large woman, like she's like 5'10". Like she's like 5'10".
Rubbing off
she's,
on you.
Yeah, she's like 5'10", 5'11", probably about 170. Yeah. And she, like that, and she got the jump on him when he was wounded. So that seemed like a fair ass fight. Where, yeah, I could see them punching each other because they, you know, he's bigger than her, but he's not that much bigger than her, and he's wounded anyway, and she got the jump on him. Like, Ruby Rose is probably like 110 pounds,
yeah,
maybe, soaking wet. So it's kind of like she can have all the technique and stuff all she want. Soon as John put his hands on her, it's going to be a wrap. And that's basically what happened. Like, she tried, and then he took the knife, stabbed it in her hand, and then she's still going, then stabbed in the heart, and it's kind of like, you know, like, I'll see you later. It's like, you know.
Not if I see you first. And he's like,
yeah,
sure, whatever. That you could see there wasn't the respect there for that he had for her. I thought that was pretty obvious. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like
you were a gnat I had to swat away.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, we're professional, anything like that. Like, you're more like an asshole. We kind of do what I got to do. It's kind of like, and at this point, like, John Wick is just pissed off because he has to do all this. And yeah, it's kind of like everybody has a role to play. And then you see this dickhead is running the hotel and everything. Like, you know, I need you to revoke John Wick's. I need you to ban him. Like, I'm acting like Stephanie McMahon. I need you to fire him. And he's like, he ain't do nothing wrong. Like, he ain't do anything wrong. Yeah, I warned you. Like, nah.
And that's where you saw Winston just smack him down. And that's where you start to question. Well, really, Winston's power really comes into question a lot at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Because he says, he's like, what do you think you're going to do to me? And it's like, I'll get you kicked out. It's like, you're the guy that runs the hotel. What are you talking about? And then you see at the end, where he has all of these assassins or whatever surrounding him, like, he pulled all these people in here?
Yeah, he doesn't run the hotel. He said not just the Continental and all of his works. Basically the tailors,
yeah,
and the arm, like everything. It's kinda like this guy got stroked. Because even then, like, even he told the dude, like, no, I'm running this. Like, you ain't gonna tell me nothing. And the guy's like, yeah, well, I guess we'll see about that. But he didn't say wrong, because he stayed, like, he kinda knew, like, it's almost kinda like, no, you don't always have, you can be the king, that don't mean you run everything.
And that's what's funny, though, is because even in the first one, he kind of broke the rules and, you know, let him know what was going on. He wasn't supposed to.
Because he had a soft spot.
Yeah, but then.
And it reinforced in this one, because they basically get to the end and you're wondering, like, okay, he said, you know, I could stay here for indefinitely. You're wondering, like, and they made such a big deal about, you know, no violence on continental ground. You know, if you do, it's forfeit. They sold having the first movie because Agent Peligi had to get bribed, like, what was it, $4 million to basically break the rules to do all that. Cause, and you saw how she ended. So you saw that when you break the rules. They've reinforced in this movie. Everybody was doing stuff because they had to follow the rules. So for the fact that John Wick shows up and they all, like, you know, I think Winston knew it was coming. He was just hoping it didn't come. It's kind of like, you know, walk away, there'll be another day. And the guy all, like, that whole, like, Rocky Five, touch me and I'll sue. What you gonna do, punk? Like, I can just eat duck flavored French fries all day long, and then I can eat a steak. You know, it's just a shame. And John was just looking at him, and then just plugs him. And the theater was like, oh.
Yeah, and you know why? It resonated. What? Like, oh my God.
Yeah. And it resonated because they built so much up to the whole thing. It's like, if you break the rules, like, this is what happened. Yeah. It's kind of like, but ever since the dude showed up at his door, you kind of knew what was going on. It was like, he didn't have a choice. Like, because even if he just killed him a normal way, that wouldn't be the end. Because, like, you know, he got a crime family. It's like, you kill him, they come after. So it's not just that. It's kind of like, you know, and everyone knows, like, he knows. He leaves with the dog, you know.
Yeah.
There at his house, reminiscing, because it's kind of like, you know, he knows what's coming. And then, so when the dude shows up, it's kind of like, yeah, I know.
Well, I was, when he shoots him, one, the gunplay was really loud in our theater, so it was like, because it was dead quiet, and everybody in the theater, like, jumped up, like, holy shit, because I can't remember her character's name, but Adrian Palicki, she gets taken out pretty quick. And oof. So I was expecting them, like, because, well, one, we didn't get the part at the end in I'm sorry, let me back up. We didn't get that part from the previews where he's like, you know, I'll kill them all. So I was starting to wonder, oh, did they take out that part from the, did they just cut that part out? You know, they just had it was a cool line for the preview. So when it goes to the end and he meets him, And Winston's like, well, obviously they're coming after you. He's like, okay, I figured that. But then when he said he was excommunicated in an hour, I'm thinking, uh-oh, what's going to happen here? And he just run like, it's obviously not like every point of the movie, but when he's running at the end, it was, like, for me as the viewer, I'm thinking, he's got no money? Well, he's got the gold bars, I guess. I guess he can go to his house and get remaining guns.
But the whole thing is, those gold coins are useless. Remember?
No, he has gold bars. They showed him again in the basement of his house. One of the boxes, there are gold bars in there.
I thought that was just coins wrapped up tight.
Oh, well, I'll pop in the first one and see. But it looked like gold bars to me. But yeah, if that's the case, yeah, those coins are worthless now.
Yeah, because they basically say you can't use the Continental, you can't use anything else. And then he's like, well, why am I alive? It's kind of like, because I deemed this. It's almost like, you know, I got a soft spot for you. Like, I'm going to give you an hour. And then when he starts walking, and then people are looking at him and getting the text, and he start walking faster. I start thinking of The Dark Knight. I'm like, this movie got some balls to end this way. Because he did what he set out to do, but this is not a happy ending. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and it's funny, like, the first movie is like, if they never made another one, like, it's a cut and dry movie. It's like, it's told a story, and that was it. This one, like, told a story, but it's like, I can't wait to see what's next. And I'm just watching, like, they gonna end like this? And people just watching was just like, not even disappointed. It was just, it's funny where it's a movie where it doesn't have a happy ending, but it's not disappointment because it just fit. It's kind of like, you just want to, because you just think like, okay, like, he's always been a badass, but it's been a badass within a system, and now he doesn't have that system anymore, and everybody's coming after him. Like, how dangerous is a corner animal with no hope?
My thing also was, it did remind me of Dark Knight. It also, well, the wife turns, she's like, so I guess there's going to be a third one? I was like, yeah, they already said they were writing it already. Like, before this one even got finished, they were starting to make the third one. So, at least this sort of ending, like, I don't think this is going to happen, but there's two things. One, it could be an ending like this to where you don't get a sequel. Like, where the fuck is the Raid 3 already? And I know he's busy. I don't care.
Well, that's your problem.
Yeah, I know. Of course. I'm not speaking for everybody else. I'm speaking for myself. But then the other thing is, it can be like The Dark Knight Rises, and you just go, what? The Dark Knight Rises didn't make any sense. So, years later. Like, what?
I'll say this, though. That it's, I'm not mad about that, because the whole thing is, watching The Dark Knight Rises and how the movie plays out, you couldn't have it happen like right after, and then Bane just mopped the floor with Batman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like, and then it tells the whole thing, like, it's funny, like, it took balls to do that, like, this happened years later, but I think it gives it more space to do it, because I always laugh at, like, people talking about, oh, how that movie don't make any sense, but gives The Dark Knight a pass. I'm like, if you're really honest, only the first Batman Begins movie makes some sense, because The Dark Knight is like, the Joker would have to be a damn mutant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, because, like, I have to have 19 things go this certain way for the 20th to work. Like, no, that does not make you smart. That does make you lucky as hell. And, like, no, that's not how things work. But it's kind of like, it's, you don't pay attention to it because it's like, it's just the Joker being awesome. So I'm always kind of, I don't use real life logic when it comes to movies, like, and I don't do it with common people talking about, oh, how come in Iron Man 3, Captain America doesn't help out with the Mandarin? Like, I can see the Avengers, but he's got a terrorist like this. Like, he's just busy. And then I'm like, Iron Man doesn't make sense. Because somehow, the first time Iron Man lands in that damn suit, his body is falling apart when he's doing the three-point landing. So, once you know how physics works and realize that movie, none of these movies make any damn sense, you just play whatever the movie rules are. Like, as long as it fits the universe rules, I'm fine. And I'm thinking the same thing as you. It's kind of like, it would suck if it wasn't a sequel, because the movie set up. But at the same time, it's kind of like, it don't necessarily, you, like, you want to see one, but it's like, you know, the ending, he's on the run. That's the damn ending. Like, everything doesn't have to be cut and dry. It's like, sometimes, you know, the bad guy gets away. Like, Silence of the Lambs didn't have a, like, look how Silence of the Lambs ended.
Yeah, and then we got sequels, and it was like, oh boy. But
yeah, like, Hannibal Lecter just got away, and that was it. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, but now, well, at least this, they have a plan, which is good. It's the same people doing it all the time. It's not somebody else taking over, like the Silence of the Lambs sequels, or Hannibal Lecter trilogy, whatever they want to call it. But, no, it's just, like, selfishly, I'm very happy, makes me very happy to know they're making a third one. And I have high hopes for it. I also wonder if this goes on. Like, Keanu Reeves, and then we got to wrap up, but Keanu Reeves has been around forever. And I turned to the wife last night, I was like, who would have thought, after seeing, like, Bill and Ted's, and then him playing, like, the stoner kid in Parenthood, that this guy, and who's almost 50, like, he's still making movies that are making money, like, his career's this long. It's just crazy to me that the little stoner guy...
He ain't almost 50, he's 52.
Okay, well, yeah, so there you go. I mean, but who would have thought, like... Everyone forgets Bill and Ted's. Like, and not that people forget Bill and Ted's, but that was one of his first roles. And now we're getting him playing a hitman, or whatever they call him, and it's seamless. Like, you don't question it whatsoever. It blows the mind.
I mean, it's funny the same way, like, you don't think of Sean Penn, what was that, Fast Time at Ridgemont High,
yeah,
or whatever the movie
is,
and then you think of, like, you see Sean Penn now, it's like, wait, Sean Penn used to do, like, or even, like, Tom Hanks doing, like, Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that guy would be Tom Hanks' America's uncle. So, and it's not the fact that he's been around. It's the fact that he had a long career, kind of tanked, but then came back and, like, is doing great. Like, usually you don't – like, usually you might have come back. It might be, like, a small comeback. Like, you know, Mickey Rourke came back, did the Wrestler, then fell right back down. Or
yeah.
Usually you don't have, like, even Will Smith is kind of like, he's back doing stuff, but he's not, like, where he was before. Like, Keanu Reeves is, like, back. Like, you know, back. Not like Mel Gibson fake back. Like, Mel Gibson, oh, we're letting you work again, but you're not, like, you know, a top five star. It's like, this movie's going to make, they said, it's funny, the first one made, like, $14 million its first weekend. This one, they're saying, is going to make at least in the 20s and might hit 30, which is amazing considering it's not a light weekend either, because, like, Lego Batman is out and 50 Shades Dark is also out, and it's kind of like it's three completely different movies where they say it's like counter programming. It's probably a lot of people that will probably watch all three, which is kind of funny when you think about it.
I don't work around the environment. It's a different environment. When the 51st 50 Shades of Grey came out, I worked in a different environment than I do now. And that was all the talk, like, when that book came out. And now, though, I'm not hearing anything about people like, oh, I can't wait to go see this one, or I want to go see this. So I'll be curious to see how that one does. And
I've seen, you know, people are thinking it's going to do better overseas than here. Which is hilarious. Like, it's not going to do as well as the first one because, one, Valentine's Day is not on the weekend like it was the first one, which was perfect. And, like, and then it's like, you know, the talk isn't the same. But then at the same time, like, I never read any of the books. From what I heard, people said the books were trash. But also, but people have also said, like, the later books are better than the first one. I'll take their word for it. I mean, it's the whole thing. Like, it's still a unique story because it's kind of like you don't get. It's basically BDSM mainstream, and you normally don't get that in America. Or it's kind of like something you get on, like, Netflix, or you watch on, like, FX. So it's, like, it's tame for those standards, but, like, for American sensibilities, it's still kind of like, you know, it gets the soccer mom's breath smooth and everything, so...
You know, I what? Mean, on that note,
yeah,
nope,
so
that's the good place to end this show, so...
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's kind of like, you know, Lego Batman is going to make a lot of money because... It's people like the Lego movie, people like Batman, and it's Rotten Tomatoes score is like, it was like 98%.
Nice. Those are the guys writing The Flash, right?
Or or were, or who knows what the
who
deal
knows
is.
What's going on with that thing now?
Yeah, but so, but that's it's next like, week. But it's funny, like, it shows that they have enough confidence where they know they're going to have a third one. It doesn't seem delusional because they kind of figure, like, you know, this one's going to do well enough to have a third one and everybody wants to do one. And who would have thought saying that that would have, you know, that would have been the case with this? An R-rated movie franchise. Think about it. It's an R-rated movie franchise. Action movie franchise. And it's funny, the only ones we had before was Underworld. Like, we didn't have them anymore. Like, since The Matrix was done, like, you get R-rated movie here and there, but it wasn't like we're going to have a movie universe with those, because it's kind of like R-rated cuts money out. It's a reason why they don't do it anymore. Like, you got to have confidence in your craft to do it or keep the budget low.
Yeah, keeping the budget low is always good.
And it's not like The Raid where they have movies like, those movies might cost like $2, $3 million. So if they make six, they're making a profit. Like, this one, you know, it's not $80 million, but it's still like money, because look at Dread. It could like some, just because you make a good movie doesn't mean you're going to be successful, because Dread was a great movie and nobody saw it, and for whatever reason people saw John. It's funny, I always think about those two movies. It's kind of like Dread didn't make it and John Wick did, and I think the two biggest reasons why is because I think the biggest thing is timing. Like, Dread had bad timing because it came out after The Raid came out and they had similar stories, and then the fact that people remember the Dread with Sylvester Stallone. This one is just like, it's Keanu Reeves, it's brand new, and nothing else was out around that time. I think it's just luck.
People, God, like, bless them. People like revenge stories when their dog gets killed. I mean, I'm being serious. You can't underestimate that part of it. That no one wants to see the dog get killed. Boy, they want to see some revenge on the people who did it. So
yeah, and good luck to them. And it's funny, we about to wrap up. I didn't realize that, you know, that movie Keanu about the cat.
Yeah, he did the voice of the cat.
Yeah. Yes. After, because first they asked him, he said no. Actually, they asked his management, and his management said no. Then his sister showed him the trailer, and so he contacted the filmmaker and said, "I'll do it."
Yeah,
that's why sometimes you gotta tell your management to kick rocks.
We gotta get out of here, but. Uh-huh. I heard him on the Nerdist talking about that stuff. And he's at a point in his life. It's kind of like the Matthew McConaughey thing, even though it was more of a conscious choice by him. But Keanu Reeves has always done whatever he wanted. Like, he took a year off to make a documentary about film. Literally film stock. And the cameras, how they were changing. Just because he wanted to. And that was something he was passionate about. So he's like Chris Hardwick mentioned something about it. Yeah, you're the voice of the cat in Keanu. I was like, oh my god, that makes total sense. So it's like he's a less annoying Bill Murray, I guess, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
So
I mean, if you live the life you live, like all that damn sadness and tragedy, and if you were rich as hell, you get to do what you want. And it's funny, like, we can wrap up. Keanu Reeves is the movie star that doesn't care about being a movie star. And it's not a cliche. It's kind of like he'll take a pay cut to have a bigger star in a movie. He'll take pay cuts for the budget. Like, he does what he wants, and he just does it. So kudos, yeah. And kudos for him for bringing us John Wick Chapter 2. And
let's get 3 going. So, all right, well, let's get the hell out of here. Next week, The Great Wall comes out, so I don't know what day I'll see that. So maybe next week's show will be about that. Maybe we'll get to other stuff for a change. So I'm going to get out. Follow Stunt Granny on all social media. Look for the other shows on the Stunt Granny platform, and we'll get at you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Duhati, and go see John Wick. We are out.